All right, it's day 12 of the Ukraine-Russian war. I'm going to say war because, you know, some countries are calling it a situation, some of them are calling it a conflict, but it's a war. People are running for their lives. There's a lot of things going on, and I just want to touch base of what I'm hearing here in Europe as opposed to maybe what you're hearing way back in the States and stuff. So maybe the same thing may not be, just different perspectives. So we're going to get into that right after this. Okay, it has been a week since my last podcast, so we are on day 12. A lot of crap has happened over in Ukraine. There has been a lot of people calling it a situation, calling it a conflict, and all I can say is that it is war. I don't know how anybody can justify not calling this a war. Yes, they're having talks. I don't see anything coming from the talks. I think they've had three rounds thus far. I think that is just for each side to say that they tried, but I don't think either side really thinks anything's going to come from it. I don't think that the demands that Russia has can be met by the Ukrainians and still have the Ukrainians being a sovereign country. So I don't see it happening that way. I don't see how those talks are going to do any good. But I did see in the last couple of days that Russia did take over a nuclear plant. They hit the nuclear plant. There is a fire. At some point, some of the news stations thought the fire could cause the reactor to blow, but then other people were saying no, it wouldn't, because it's in a different building and the other one is safe behind concrete. And so, long story short, it didn't blow. Russia does have control of it. It will be interesting to see what they do with it. I haven't done enough research to know, like, if they have control of it, they'll have a control of a lot of the energy, electricity and stuff like that. So it makes me wonder if it's easy to turn that off and then turn that back on. So can they turn it off and turn off the power grids? And what that would cause. I'm not sure because I haven't done enough research on it, but that will be interesting to see how them having control of that, what that could do for them. I know that American Express, Visa, and MasterCard are, they said on the news that they were discontinuing service, but from my research that I've seen, it's not exactly discontinuing their service. If your card was issued in Russia, then it will work in Russia. It will not work outside of Russia. If your card was issued outside of Russia, it will not work inside Russia. So it may not sound like a big deal, but Europeans, it's not unusual for them to take time off and travel to other countries. Kind of the way that the U.S. citizen will take time off and go to Vegas or to California or to Miami or to New York or to Washington, D.C. or, you know, all the hot spots that people go to visit and vacation in the U.S., it's kind of like that, but in Europe, they take time off and they go to different countries because it's all very, very close. I was doing a little measurement on Google Earth, and the distance between, like, kind of the border of Russia to the UK was like a little under 1500 miles. And to put that in perspective, that's like someone in Arizona going to Alabama for vacation. Like, that's not unheard of. And so, so it's kind of close. So now you've got all these Russians that even if they want to leave, they can't bring their money. It's no good. Like, even their cards, outside Russia. And I did see, news sources, that are in Russia that were showing like the long lines outside the banks, people standing in line trying to get their money out so that they have some money before the banks completely go under and shut their doors, right? So it was kind of weird because when I was looking at the footage, it kind of looked at, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic a couple of years ago, like they had news stories that would show people waiting outside grocery stores to go in and it would be like long lines around the corner or whatever. It kind of reminded me of like that. People waiting in line for hours and hours and multiple days at a time to like go into the bank and try to get their own money out. It's very kind of scary for them, I think, but it's also like people don't want to speak out against their government. I know there are some people that are getting arrested, but I don't think it's as many as the news are making it out to be. I know that a lot of the things that the other countries are doing is to try to get where the Russian people are upset and overthrow their own government. I think that that's what a lot of the news that I'm seeing over here is to show how ridiculous and how all these things, how ridiculous Russia's demands are, and to try to get the Russian people to stand up to their own government. And so that's kind of what I see all the countries over here trying to do, because they don't want to actually be the ones to go in and fight, because then that means they're part of starting World War III or whatnot. And so now it seems like all of their efforts are to, with sanctions, with news feeds, I feel like it's all to make the Russian people hurt so that they're angry towards their own government for having that happen and overthrow them. But I find it hard to believe that that will happen. Not that to say it won't, but I find it hard to believe that that's what will happen. There was also, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but Russia has Russia has implemented a new law that has said that they can jail anybody that spreads what they considered misinformation or fake news. So that's interesting. There's been a lot of news feeds that independent news sources that have walked out. I know Twitter and Facebook have been banned there, but one of the most interesting feeds that I watched was an independent station in Russia that staged and videoed a mass walkout. And while they were walking out, they played the music of Swan Lake. And that is very significant because when the Soviet Union fell, to kind of distract the Russian people, they played Swan Lake on the TV. And so they didn't have any of the news organizations covering that news when it happened. So it was kind of more of a symbolic symbol of, yes, we're walking out and this is what you're getting, and just know things are going on type of a thing. So that was interesting. But it's also weird because, like, I still see people on YouTube that I follow that are from Russia. TikTok, you know, you have your podcast platforms, you have your gaming platforms that people talk to each other through. Like, they have all of that. But I think people are still wary of what they say on them because of that new law, but it's still out there. And there was one video that I watched that's from YouTube, and the station is called Radio Free Europe. And they went into Russia and asked Russian citizens what they thought about the war. And they actually brought pictures of what was happening into those major cities. And it was surprising in the video because some people were like denying that the war was even happening. But most of the people were like automatically, as soon as they asked them, they're like, I support Putin. I support Putin. And they're like, well, what do you think about the war? I support Putin. And so it kind of felt like more of a robotic answer. And I don't know if it was out of fear, fierce loyalty to Putin, or if it was out of fierce fear of Putin and his cronies, like the regime there. There was one individual in the video that I saw that just said that he was scared to talk. He didn't want to talk about that subject because it was dangerous for anybody to say the wrong thing. And then there was one young girl that spoke out about how wrong it was. She was very young. She had multicolor hair. She was probably a little bit more like social media savvy, I would say, because I think she was getting a lot of information that maybe older generations didn't because they're not on those other platforms. But at least she was like able to say, I don't agree with this. And I think there's a lot of that. But I think we all cheer for that. Like I've seen a people like cheering them on and you should do this. And I get like where that's coming from. But I'm generally scared for those people because we're not stepping in, which means we're not going to go in and help Russia's people not be jailed. So it makes me sad because even though it's we think, oh, that's so great. They're standing up to their country. They're getting arrested. But we don't know how long they're going to be arrested for, if they'll ever not be. Like, this Putin and his cronies are very dangerous. And so it makes me nervous for those people that do speak out. Because if we're not getting involved in what Russia's doing to Ukraine, we are not going to get involved to what Russia is doing to their own people. And so it makes me nervous to cheer those people on because that one girl that was openly speaking out, she was so young that I'm not sure she understands what the older people, Russians, know, that the fear, there's a fear there because they're dangerous. There's a fear there because there's a reason to have the fear there. And so it makes me nervous because the world has decided they're not getting involved because they don't want to be the one to start a war, or, you know, so we're definitely not going to get involved in helping the Russian people that get toted away. So that makes me nervous. I'll just say that. I did think it was interesting too, kind of like, I'm sure there's a reason for it because it was videotaped and sent to Russia, to Russian news. Hopefully they picked it up. Probably not. But the rest of the world sees like the Russian soldiers that have been captured. They're being allowed to call home. And the Ukrainians are inviting their moms to come pick them up. And I'm sure that there is some manipulation in that, thinking that if Russian mothers are coming to get their soldiers, that maybe Russia will stop bombing them while they do that. I'm not sure if that will actually happen, but, or if they'll actually get in trouble for coming, for like leaving and not reporting back. I think that would be like, if I'm looking it as like a military, U.S. military, if you got captured and your parent was told to come get you, like, you would have to report to your command after being released, right? So I'm not sure how that works, but they definitely got it on the news here in Italy. I'm sure it's in other countries. What else was it? Oh, there was a, I follow guy that's Russian. His name, what is his name? It's Dan Shekeko. I'm going to have to spell it. It's Shekeozr. He and his wife have a YouTube channel, and they are going to, like, the other day they went to the store to show you what the sanctions are doing to the Russian people. And then a couple days ago, he went to gas stations to show the difference. And it was interesting because I'm not sure if what the average salary is in Russia compared to the US, but like their gas is like he had to do some math because in Europe they go by liter. But when he did the math into the US dollar, like some of the gas was at like, I want to say like $2 or something. And I was like, that's pretty cheap. I think one of them, I want to say one was like three something, but it was still like pretty cheap because even in Italy, like ours is way more. Ours in Italy has been way more, even with the sanctions. And like to Russia, like it's weird. And I know that back home, last time I visited, the gas prices were way more than that. So I'm not sure, maybe they just make a whole lot less. So that's why it doesn't make sense. Maybe because they don't make a lot of money, that's actually means that they, that that's a bigger, I don't know. So I'd have to do a little bit more research, but right off the cuff, I was thinking sanctions aren't doing anything for these people because I know a lot of people in the United States that would love to pay even just $3 a gallon. Like, so I don't know. I don't know if the sanctions are really hitting yet, but it didn't make sense to me when I was watching it. The only thing that I can think of is that maybe they make a ton less. Like if we make, the average person brings home $700 a paycheck and they only bring home, you know, $100 each paycheck, that $2 a gallon thing would mean more, right? But I don't know what the difference is. So maybe that's the deal, but just looking apples to apples, I don't think that their sanctions are doing a ton yet. So, what other things happened? Oh, Russia was offering different corridors. They were calling them humanitarian corridors, and they are offering them to the Ukraine people to escape their bombardments. And all those routes they don't lead to like Poland or wherever their family members are. All the routes that they are allowing them to take to escape go directly to Belarus and Russia. I hope I'm saying that country's name. I know. I think I say it right and then I hear it and I'm like, oh yeah, I did. And sometimes I'm like, oh, and I didn't. So I'm hoping I'm saying that. But I just thought it was weird. I'm not sure how that's going to happen because, like, if you're going to, like, you're trying to go towards, like, if you take these corridors, you're going back towards the troops because the troops are going towards the inner part of Ukraine and these paths lead backwards into their armies. So I'm not sure how they're going to know you're taking their humanitarian corridor or if you were just opposition that they need to take out. And I think that there has been some reporting that, you know, there has been shelling over people that are evacuating. And I don't know on the evacuation routes. And I don't know if that meant the humanitarian corridors that Russia opened themselves or if it was like other routes that were heading to Poland or not. But I don't know how they're going to be able to do that and continue fighting at the same time. I just don't know. So far, it doesn't seem like Russia has been very good at communicating across the board to each other. Just know what the right foot's doing or to the left foot's doing, right? So I don't know. That leads to like why Russia is currently recruiting fighters from Syria to fight in the Ukraine, because they have more experience in urban combat settings. And so, because right now they're really, I think, struggling with that. So the Syrians have a little bit more experience in that, and that's why they've kind of gone out to recruit them. And but I did find it interesting. We did see some news that were saying that a ton of fighters from all over, independent people are coming, showing up and waiting to be admitted into the Ukraine army so that they can fight for them. And there's lots more talks about, you know, giving Ukraine more weapons and stuff. And I'm all for giving them a fighting chance, because they are fighting their hearts out and they have every right to stand their ground and to be in their homes and to live their life how they feel. It does make me nervous when Russia seems to have this endless supply. Like, they're even doing recruiting and they have their soldiers in recruiting, and it just makes me nervous that it'll be like eventually all the stuff that we sent to the Ukraine to fight Russia will end up in Russia's hands, and we'll be giving them all these equipment and stuff. I don't know. It's I don't even know what the right thing to do is. Like, I feel like if we could just come together as the international community and all come in together and say this isn't, and like, then we don't have to give them weapons that could potentially get into the hands of an enemy. I feel like if we could all make that step together, and it's not just one country making the step, we make all that together, and then we can stop it. Then it's not one person's fault. I don't know if that's even possible, but it seems to be everybody just doesn't want to be the one person that starts it. And in the long scheme of it, because everybody's afraid to be the person to step up first because they don't want to be the person to blame, that it just seems inevitably this country is going to be wiped off the map because nobody wanted to be first. Like, everybody feels like it's a good thing that we should, but then nobody wants to be first. And it's just sad to me that this is what's going on. Those are my thoughts. I also think that, like, the countries that are helping Russia should have those same sanctions as Russia does. Like, I think that's a thing. If you are helping Russia to do this, actively either sending them weapons, sending them fighters, allowing them to stage in your country, you should be included in all of the sanctions that are against Russia. I absolutely agree with that, because that's the only way that people will not help them. And I think that it's interesting to see China's take. China wants to be neutral in this whole thing, even though I don't think that they actually are neutral. I feel like they're trying to set themselves up as a middleman, but I think that they low-key are encouraging Russia. Like, they don't even want to, they don't even want to condemn what they're doing, and they just call it a situation. They refuse to call it a war. All that their prime minister said was, We just need to call for cool heads and rational minds, and then it'll all work out. Well, I don't know how you can have cool heads and rational minds when you have one country that is just trying to be their own country, and you have another country trying to tell that country what to do. And so in that sense, you can't be neutral, but they just want to be neutral. And I think it has a lot to do with they want to be, you know, seen as the savior and let me talk to them, even though they're low-key okay with it. And maybe save some grace, because I don't think China is a friend. I think that they lied about a lot of things. They started this pandemic that we've been going on for 2 years, and I feel like they're just looking for a way for people to forget that they caused all this drama that's happened the last couple years. And so I don't trust them. I hope that, you know, other people are smart enough to see that they're not our friend, that they're not really unbiased, but they want to seem unbiased. Those are the things that I've seen thus far since day 12. I honestly don't see this ending soon. I think maybe the soonest this it can end is 60 days, maybe 90 days. I don't know. But it just doesn't seem like it was going to be a fit. It's going to be a quick war, because it's taken them quite a bit of time because the people are so fierce and fighting for their homeland. And I love that. But I also don't think that Russia at this point has any reason to stop, because nobody's stopping them. And it's kind of crazy. I would love, if you know of any places that are collecting donations or funds for the Ukrainian people, please email that information to me. I can put that out. I know that here in Italy, we've been putting together places through the local churches, and they're getting boxes out. I know that there's a local church that's maybe, I want to say, like 40 minutes away from me, that is housing some of the orphans from the Ukraine in one of the monasteries. And that's been really cool to see the community really help out there. I know that I've seen them just in the last couple of days looking for things for kids, like high chairs and like portable cribs and strollers for those parents that have like basically had to walk, and some of them were able to catch trains and stuff, but a lot of people had to leave a lot of their stuff because they were fitting so many people in trains, so you weren't bringing your stroller in because they were packing people in. And so I know that here they were collecting all that stuff, and I know that in Poland some of the mothers were just going down to the train stations and leaving a bunch of strollers outside the train station so that when families came off and they needed one, there was one for them. There's a lot of like great humanitarian stories here. I just really wish that the governments could get it together. And, you know, me and my husband do, we believe there's a reason to have governments, but I feel like government always fails, like in humanitarian things. They may, even if they have good intentions, because government is, there's so much red tape, that sort of thing. But when communities get together, that's really when great things happen. And I think if anything positive comes out of this, is maybe we're gaining a little bit more of our humanity that maybe we've lost the last couple of years with the pandemic. It's just great to see people go out of their way for other fellow human beings that are in need and that are hurting. My prayers go out to the Ukrainian people and to the Russian people, because it's either they're scared to speak out, And that is a scary position for someone to be in. Or it's that they have been lied to and brainwashed into thinking that Putin has all their best interests at heart. And I really don't think that he does. I think that he is an individual that is obsessed with power and his own legacy. And so that in itself is sad for the people, because they are not able to be in a safe, secure place to get all the information needed to be, you know. So my prayers go out to both sides, honestly. And I just pray that things get better. I don't know how they're going to get better, though, other than it brings out more humanity in everybody. You know, we care about a little bit more about somebody else than ourselves. That's the only thing that I can really see stopping this, because it doesn't seem our governments will. But that's day 12 for me. I'm going to keep, again, I'll keep an eye on the situation. I'm hopefully going to do some podcasts on a couple other issues that I've seen, some things that I may be fun to talk about. So I'll going to get that list together, and maybe on the next podcast, I'll let you know what those things are, and I will see you in the next one.